Hello, Fight Insight fans, viewers, listeners. I'm the Filipino podcasting machine, Princey D. With me, as always, the man known as Timbo Slice, Timmy B. On today's podcast, we are very happy to introduce to you a rising star in MMA, fresh off her victory last Friday at Icon Fighting Federation 7. We discussed the money talks around Mayweather versus Paul, preview UFC Zombie versus Iggy, pick out our fighters for our weekly fight on site, and a whole lot more. Tim, hit it.
Oh, I messed that up. And yeah, it's Timmy B,
Princey D, Fight Insight. Yeah.
All right, our guest today holds a professional mixed martial arts record of 5-2 and is fresh off a brutal and bloody first round submission victory at Icon Fighting Federation 7 in Mexico that you watched on Fight Pass. Although she began training in martial arts at an early age, she started her career later at the age of 27. She moved from Hong Kong to the United States, where she's training with many top-level fighters as a part of Team Syndicate MMA. A former national rugby player for Hong Kong, you may also recognize her from the incredible and inspiring TEDx talk, Why Fear is Our Greatest Asset in Unlocking Human Potential. Ladies and gentlemen from Las Vegas, please welcome Ramona Pasquale. How you doing, Ramona?
Ramona, how's it going?
I'm good, thank you. Thanks for having you guys.
Hey, how's everything? Congratulations on the fight. Incredible.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
And it's and when they were calling out your name, man, it's Ramona Pasquale. Right?
Yeah, that was so spirited. That was awesome. Yeah.
Yeah. Actually,
cool. My friends definitely enjoyed that.
Yeah, it's funny that you say that, Prince. That announcer was really good.
Like, you know what? I had to go back. I'm like, she's from Hong Kong, right? But how come her name is Ramona Pasquale? Right? So that was cool. But hey, congratulations, Ramona, again on the fight. Like, wow. Solid performance. You threw a clinic. That's all I could say. It was a clinic. You threw the knees came in there. The sweep came in there, came out of a heel hook, and then submitted the person out. Like, I was sitting there, my heart was like pumping because I watched your TED talk actually before I saw the fight. And man, like, we're going to get into the TED talk, but man, it was so inspirational. So I was rooting for you the whole time. I'm like, when you got the heel hook on, I'm like, don't you do it, don't you do it. And my family was all watching in the back, like, oh my gosh, come on, let's go. We got Mitch reviewing her next. She's got to take it. So yeah, I'm glad that you took that dub.
Thank you. Appreciate those kind words.
Yeah. So you moved to Las Vegas. You're now with Team Syndicate MMA, right? Mm-hmm. And yeah. How instrumental has it been in terms of like your growth and achieving that victory?
Yeah, super, super instrumental. A lot of the technique or the crucifix technique that I use, you know, for the most of the fight was actually just a technique that we've been working on for the past month.
Wow.
So that was, yeah. So a lot of little details of that, you know, obviously like everyone tries to hit it, but there are so many nuances, I think, to that control that enable you to hold that position. Cause usually people can kind of just buck out of there or kind of, you know, slide out of there. I think the difference is kind of night and day, you know, being around such high level coaching and training partners and, you know, getting to learn their style. Obviously, wrestling is bigger in America than it is in Asia. So a lot of the chain wrestling in the context of MMA, I was able to improve upon. Also, a lot of aspects of striking, but, you know, wasn't able to show that this time. So that's going to be next time.
Hey, no, that's okay. But you speak about the people at Syndicate. And when you know, if you follow Ramona on Instagram, and you really should, because your Instagram is excellent, Ramona, it's always being updated with stuff. So we really get to watch you train. You're training with a lot of like high level people. You've got Gian Kim around you. You've got Joanne Calderwood. How is it like? I mean, like, so you move from Hong Kong, you move here, and now you've got these people that I'm sure you watched like in UFC fights yourself. Mm-hmm. And now you're in there and you're training with them. How cool is that?
Yeah, it's totally surreal, you know, and there are a lot of like other, you know, guys in the UFC too that train at Syndicate.
To
witness their process, you know, and see it up close and see the level of intensity, professionalism that they bring to the training floor. has been, you know, really cool for me to kind of be around and learn from. And, you know, of course, they're like high level. They've had fights. Like Jiyoung Kim, you know, was a pro boxer, so her boxing is incredible. And then you have Jojo, who's, you know, came from like a striking background, like a Muay Thai background, and, you know, how she is with like her elbows and knees and mixing things up in such a creative way. Just getting kind of, you know, my ass kicked by them all the time, but then like getting to learn and sort of, you know, you always, whenever you work with somebody, you somewhat mirror what they're doing as well, the intensity and the pace. So you learn a lot from someone landing things on you, and that increases your chances of landing it on, you know, other people.
No.
Yeah, you know what? And how often were you practicing the Kimura? Because I feel like you snuck that in, just like you were like heating up a pizza pocket. You're like, oh, just gonna add this here,
oh,
and
yeah,
you go, there you go, nice to tap. It was like nothing. I'm like, well, what happened there? She tapped, right? So how often were you practicing that?
Yeah, that Americana. Well,
hold on, Ramona. I apologize. I knew he said the wrong name.
Okay, sorry, man. My, you know what? The announcer said it was a Kimura.
Yeah,
listen, I'm the Muay Thai guy. My bad.
Yeah,
I was gonna say tempura too. My bad.
Sometimes I get them mixed up. You know, because it's like one the arm going this way or the other way. I trained jiu-jitsu for like a good number of years, and I started gi, and I was doing that, you know, just like focus on that for like I believe 2 years. I put striking aside, you know, so it was really good for me to immerse myself. But yeah, I used to hit that a lot just in the gym, you know, and so that was always a part of my arsenal. And it's one of those things that's like, oh, you know, you can just, you're in set control, you can get that right away. But if you've got someone who's like really fresh, like they're not just going to let you have it, you know? So then I didn't really think that I was going to get it. I didn't actually envision that I would get her, but with, you know, an Americana, but I think I just like softened her up, and I thought I was going to TKO at one point, and then I didn't. And I was just going to town. I was like, okay, well, I could be here all day, you know? And then I think as soon as like, I cut her up, and then I knew she was getting tired and like, you know, breaking her down. Then, you know, I knew that, okay, well, I have this option. I'm going to go for it and see if it works. Because usually girls are pretty flexible, and like, you don't really know if you're going to get that arm bar or like, you know, any of those arm attacks. So yeah, I gave it a go, and I'm glad it, you know, it did it for me. And I'm sure like ground pound helped into, you know, making that a possibility.
No, that's amazing. And then, so there's video of you as like, kind of like the featured fighter in UFC Performance Institute Shanghai. There's a cool video on YouTube with you there. And then now we see on your Instagram that you're always at the Performance Institute in Vegas, right? How cool is that? Like, how cool is it to be able to move? I know a lot of fighters like started to move to Vegas to be able to utilize the benefits of the Performance Institute. Like, how cool is that to be there as well?
Yeah, incredible. You know, the whole reason I was able to come to Vegas and have access to the PI and the nutrition and the PT and the, you know, and the S&C was because of the program that I was a part of in Shanghai. So I've been a part of this program since the summer of 2019, and that's the UFC Academy program, which is like a developmental, it helps develop fighters who are, you know, not signed yet to any big promotion, but are sort of up and coming. And so we've got like, I think like 30 athletes in that program, where we get to utilize, you know, all of the data and knowledge from the UFC through their PI staff. And that's like, you know, strength conditioning, physiotherapy, nutrition, but also MMA. So that's the one difference between Shanghai and Vegas, where in Shanghai, there's an MMA training staff, so like MMA coaches that have like rest, you know, that hold wrestling classes, sparring, you know, all the different disciplines. Whereas in Vegas, it's just a training area for the skills base. So you can like bring your own coach and like use the facility. Right. But which is why I'm over at Syndicate, where I get my, you know, training or my skills training. But yeah, it's awesome to have access to that. Absolutely. Like I, you know, it's just, there's so much knowledge, so much education, and it helps a lot with obviously, you know, the cutting edge methods that they use with in approaching like structuring your fight camp or weight cut and stuff like that.
Yeah, well, it was cool because I saw like on your Instagram, I've never seen it before, but you showed where they gave you after your weight cut, they had the little packets and they told you exactly what to drink and how much to drink and how fast you had to drink it. So they prepare all that for you, right? To really help your weight cutting.
Yeah, so usually, so if you're in the UFC and you're in a UFC event, all of that is taken care of. And it's just like given to you in a bag. It's all mixed and everything. And then they tell you when to drink what, you know, so you don't have
Yeah.
to, you're not just like, you know, going and drinking or eating whatever it is that your body feels like because it's been starving and you're just going to eat the wrong food. So, you know, introducing fluids and carbs and then, you know, what you're supposed to do after that. And like the supplements that you need as well. So yeah, just because I was traveling down to Mexico, like, you know, on my own, like I had to bring all those like in powder form or like, you know, the
Yeah.
pouches and then like mix them up myself. But yeah, it was great to like have them just like give that all that to me.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Ramona, I actually wanted to ask, so how long do you have to wait to access like the squat rack at the Performance Institute?
So no, so how it works is you work with a coach there, so you schedule in. And
Yeah.
so you it it's you really don't have more than like maybe three people working out at a given time, and each of those athletes will have a coach with them, and they're like, I don't know, four racks, I think. So it's never really an issue for like waiting for machines or anything like that.
Yeah, you know, it's just a joke because I'm like the massive facility, so you're not waiting at all, right? So, man, I mean, that's wicked that you were able to train there, and like, I mean, out of it, like, did you feel like you've gained a lot of strength in terms of just gaining the knowledge and also just the training conditioning over there? Do you find like there's a big difference between that and Shanghai?
I think the programming is it's just different. I wouldn't say one is better than the other. You know, the one in Shanghai had more structure. It was still equally as intense, you know, like, and I think that you know, the one in Shanghai, obviously it's like you go to the PI and you're there like 7:30 in the morning till 7:30 at night. So it's like a one-stop shop, whereas over here it's like you go to your MMA gym and then you go to the PI for your, you know, other things, and then so it's all fully integrated over there. And while over here it's a little bit more like self-regulation and things like that. So yeah, it's just different. But
That's
I was
crazy.
able to get a lot of what I've learned from Shanghai and sort of like apply it to here, you know, and like, you know, the same kind of approach. So that was really helpful. Definitely like the experience in Shanghai helped prepare me to sort of integrate, you know, more easily out here.
Yeah, that's awesome. And
That's
so
sick.
you're getting to use the best of both worlds, right? All your training there and the what you've learned there and now coming here and joining up here. That it's so cool to watch the story and the progress. And you talked in your TED talk about the fear of inaction and about not being able to realize your true potential. And here you are. You've done everything to give yourself that greatest opportunity to achieve it. So congratulations on that. It's really
Thank
great to watch your
you.
career.
Thank you so much.
I know you don't have a lot of time. I did want to quickly ask, how the heck did you become a TED Talk person?
Oh, yeah, that's a good question. I don't even know. Sometimes I'm like, I also wonder how that happened. I think public speaking has always been something that I just hated doing. Like even going in front of like class, you know, in the classroom doing presentations, hated that. I'd never like, you know, answer questions or like raise my hand. Like it just gave me so much anxiety, like crippling anxiety when I was growing up. So I think that was one of the things where I'm like, you know, that's a fear that I have that I want to address and that I want to not necessarily excel at, but I think that's kind of how it evolved. And it was a little bit like kind of like fighting. You know, I didn't know if I was going to be good at it. And at the time I started training, it wasn't so I could compete. Like people were like, oh, you should fight. You know, I started with, you know, training Muay Thai when I was like a lot younger. And I was like, oh, I'd never do that. That looks scary as hell. And then actually it was like, well, you know, maybe I like try it out. And so I think the common theme was always like, oh, find scary things and then like try them. And so when I found the opportunity, and then, you know, MMA kind of helped me develop as, you know, as a person. Helped me gain a lot of confidence, helped me learn a lot about myself and like what I wanted in life and all those things. And then this opportunity of like applying to be a speaker came up, and I thought, you know, that scares the hell out of me. So I should like do it. Like I should just
So wait,
apply and then
you applied for it and they
you
picked
yeah,
you?
you apply and then you tell them who you are and like the concept, what you want to talk about, and then they pick you. Yeah. And so I
But
got chosen.
You know what's so sick about that TED Talk? It's, you know, I think it's by far one of my favorites, just because of the crowd's reaction. When Ramona stood up there and he goes, "Guys, and I also want to let you know, like, public speaking is one of my biggest fears." And everybody in the crowd, like, you zoom, you look at the crowd, and everyone's like, "What the? Are you serious?" Like, yeah, because you were talking about, you know, overcoming your fears and overcoming that struggle, right? And everyone's like, "Really? But you're doing amazing." And then at the very end, I think the best part of that TED Talk is right after you finish, you go, "Whew," and walked off, and like genuine reaction to, like, you know, overcoming that fear, public speaking. And I never thought that it was like one of your biggest fears, because you were doing such a solid job. And it was funny, because halfway through the TED Talk, I'm looking at the mirror, I'm like, I'm doing exact opposite that she's telling me to do. I gotta follow my dreams. So after this podcast, I'm actually gonna quit and just, you know, start being a stand-up comedian. So thanks a lot, Ramona. I appreciate everything you've done for me. Everything for my family.
All right. Well, Ramona, that was an announcement. So I'm gonna need you here every Wednesday at 8.
Yeah.
And we're gonna need to. I'm gonna need a new co-host. So, Ramona, before you go, we've got some fan questions. And I told Ramona before we started, but you received the most fan questions by far of anyone that we've ever had on. So people are very engaged with you. They really want to know about you. So we had so many, and I apologize if I didn't get to all of yours. But I will start off with the most interesting one. You must know this person. Kelly Ziemba asks, why are you so perfect?
Oh, my God. Thank you, Kelly.
All right, let me get to her. Okay, you can talk to her on that on your own time. How about this one?
She's my girl, yeah.
All right. How about this one? This was a pretty interesting one. This is from Nathan. I do like this one. Partanax 30 asks, what was the biggest difference training in Hong Kong versus USA?
The thing is, the infrastructure for MMA is lacking in Hong Kong. It's just like, it's so young. I think in Asia, it's just not as developed, nowhere near as developed, just because it hasn't been there as long. And also, Hong Kong's a city, right? It's like, it's a expensive city where like rent is really high, and like, what do you need to have an MMA gym? You need space. So that's not something that's easily attainable. And also, it's tough to sort of, you know, go and be like a full-time fighter, because it's just, you know, it's like when I was there and I was fighting, like I had to have, you know, I had a job, a full-time job, and I was trying to juggle the two, just because you can't really survive without that. And then MMA is one of those sports where you require like quite, you know, like your undivided attention to a certain extent. It's like you could maybe do some part-time work, in Hong Kong, you're just not, it's just not the kind of place where you're like working part-time and surviving. So
no worries.
Like a full-time gig. And so I think that's why it's kind of just, you know, not quite there. Also, there's only one promotion and they don't really have that many shows, so
right.
I would say just, you know, accessibility of MMA is a lot greater in the US.
Going along that question, this question came from email from Nathan. Kind of ties along. My uncle will argue with you about this question forever. My uncle Robert. What's up, Robert? Better Asian food in Hong Kong or in North America?
Oh, Hong Kong.
Really? He always says it's here. I don't know why.
What? Really? Well, okay. I mean, if you have like American influenced Asian food, that's like really good too. That's just a different, it's not authentic Asian food. But I think if you're going for like authenticity, like, yeah, for sure, Hong Kong's got some really good Asian food.
All right.
So I'm gonna say I go over there. Like, what would you recommend?
Oh man, you gotta go to the dim sum spots, you know, like the classic, like traditional ones where you have that card on your table and they come and they stamp it. That's, you know, the there's best. Like fewer places that do that because of like hygiene issues, you know, with the trolley and stuff. But you definitely need to go to the ones where they don't speak English. Those are the spots to go.
Where you just have to ask them and then they lift the lid for you.
Yeah, exactly.
And the waitresses are just rude. They just pass by, they dash it over, and that's it. You know, and you know you're going to have an amazing meal.
The more rude they are, like the better the food probably. Because they're just like, the food is so good, I don't even have to treat you well, you know?
Yeah. nice. At Moss Fitness, one of our prior guests at Moss Fitness asks, who's your dream opponent?
Oh, that's a tough one. I don't think I have an answer for that, honestly.
Yeah. How about, okay.
Yeah.
No, go ahead.
I have no idea. That's a tough one. I can't say. I also don't want to call people out, you know?
Okay, like, okay.
Eventually, when I get to that point, I'll be ready for it, you know?
All right.
So it's kind of, yeah.
At Blessed Picks asks, where do you see your career taking you? Maybe that's not specifically opponent, but like, what are you looking for in your career? What do you want to do? I know you were saying you want to fight in July.
Yeah, yeah. So yeah, I do want to get another fight in July. I don't know with which show that'll be, which show, probably regional promotion, but yeah, I just need that cage time, you know, just because, you know, in the past, like almost 4 years, I fought, including the last one, I fought twice. So that's like not a lot. And hopefully after that, like, I know the Asia Contender Series is on, so I'm really trying to, you know, set my sights on that. And then hopefully with a good performance, you know, hopefully the UFC before the end of the year, but, you know, we'll see. I'm just going to take it one step at a time, and, you know, I want to take it as far as I can take it. You know, I don't think that there are any Asian females in the 35 division right now, so that would be cool to, you know, bring a little Asian flavor to the division and, yeah, just represent Asian MMA as best, you know, as far as I can take it.
Ramona, listen, it's a belt. You will it into reality, right? Will it into reality. We're looking for the hardware, baby.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Ramona, definitely. Like I was saying to Ramona before we started airing, I said, her fight was so crazy. My wife couldn't even watch it. It was like, and the only other person she won't watch, Ramona, is Justin Gaethje, because it just gets too bloody. It gets too violent. And with yours, you were on top in the crucifix, you know, the blood started coming. And then like, I'm screaming at the TV going, the submission. And she's just like, oh no, cannot watch. So, I mean, if that is what your fights bring, guaranteed Dana White is going to see this.
Oh.
And he's going to be calling you up, especially with the people you're surrounding yourself. It looks like you've got a good group going. So you've got great things ahead of you.
Thank you. Yeah, I can feel it. I know I'm in the right spot. And all signs are, you know, pointing upwards. So I'm just going to keep rolling with it. You know, I'm sure there's going to be bigger challenges that are going to be ahead of me, like a lot more adversity. But, you know, I've been through that. I've clawed and climbed my way out of it. So I don't really... I have confidence that I'll be able to deal with it and keep, you know, moving in the right direction. And I'm excited for that.
That's amazing. And I know you have to go, but before you do go, is there anything that you wanted to say or promote or anything like that?
Well, not really. I mean, you know, shout out to my team, Syndicate MMA. You know, it's couldn't have done all this without them. And yeah, at Ramona Carla is my Instagram. Follow along this crazy ride. You know, what I lack for in my abilities as a fighter, I make up for in my comedic talent, I think. So definitely, you know, get in there and watch me do my thing.
And if you guys want like inspirational videos, I'm telling you, I went through a blitz through all your videos. I'm telling you, I was so pumped, especially the ones of Faket Top Team where you were training over there. You've got a whole montage. Oh my goodness. My dad came in. What are you doing down here? I'm like, well, you got to watch this, Dad. She's great. and I'm like, Dad, I'm giving up nursing, man. I'm here to fight. I'm going to fight somebody. God dang it.
And last question, Ramona, before I let you go, I wanted to ask this. How the heck did you become a GIF on Instagram?
Oh, yeah. That was thanks to my management. Yeah. So my management, the digital guy, like, mate created it. I guess they just uploaded it. And I think the traction was like 21 million views or something like that. Just because, and it's been up for a couple of weeks. And I think that's because, like, I just fought and then, like, you know, people are tagging me in my fight and then, like, posting my GIF and people are seeing their stories and all that. So,
but that's pretty crazy, though.
I'm a GIF. Yeah.
Oh, did I say it wrong? GIF. But that's pretty crazy, though.
I think there's no right way to say it.
Yeah, but it's you. I mean, for those that don't know, on Instagram, when you're doing a post, if you want a cool fighter on there, you just type in Ramona and she will come up and she's boxing like right in your face. That's pretty awesome, man. So, and you'll have that for the rest of your life. How cool is
that? That's right. That's right. Yeah.
All right, Ramona. Well, we wish you all the best in your career. We will be fans of yours forever. Thank you so much for coming on the podcast. We really appreciate it. And we hope to have you back one day.
Yeah. Thank you for having me. Appreciate it, guys.
Thanks, Ramona. Right. Take care. All, right, all the best.
Thanks, Ramona. See you later.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
All right, man.
Ah, she's so cool, man.
How neat is that?
So cool. Like, she's awesome.
I totally messed up the stupid screen. I messed up the video. Ugh.
It's all good, man. Listen, we're here for a good time. We're here for a good time. People watching this, listeners, viewers, you know, we just interviewed Ramona, right? And she off over here. You know, I honestly think all the viewers, all the guests that we've had over here, one of these days when these guys are just going to raise the belt and be like, oh yeah, I remember interviewing a Fight Insight. I got to come back for the post-interview fight.
I feel like it was because of Prince and Tim that I won this title. Like, I really do. Yeah. No, I mean, man, but that fight that she had at Icon Fighting Federation was so good. Oof.
I mean, you know what I wanted to tell her is that like there was a difference in terms of her aggression. Like, I found like she was more aggressive. She like just went in there and just grabbed the opponent, just like ragdolled the whole way through, right?
Yeah, like Volkan Ozdemir, no time, right? No. She wasted no time. She mauled that girl and finished her. So if you have Fight Pass, go check out Icon Fighting Federation 7. Her fight was on there. I think it was like the third fight maybe of the night. So. Prince, what are we going to talk about? We got lots to talk about.
Actually, Tim, before we go to the next question, in the announcer said it was a Kimura.
I know, but you know why? Because that's not like your top level announcers.
Okay.
But the difference is for those that like
show them, Tim, show them.
So if your arm is like this and it gets turned this way,
okay, yeah,
that's an Americana.
Americana. Okay.
So that you're normally going to do as she did when you're on top of the guy, when the person's on the ground, there's nowhere for you to push their arm back.
Okay.
Right? So you want to pull it up. So that's an Americana.
Americana. Okay.
The Kimura is normally when their arm is down and you pull it this way and you pull, how do I show it here? So you pull the arm backwards. That's thing. It's very similar. You're going to do the same type of lock on the arm.
Yeah.
But it depends on whether you pull it up or push it that way. So that's how. Yeah. There's 1,000 jujitsu people that want to kill me right now for butchering that. But that I do know that that's Americana. But yes, on the commentary, they called it the wrong name. For sure.
And listen, if you guys want to comment and say something about the technique and the form, the technique and all that, follow us on YouTube, Fight Insight Podcast, Instagram. You can follow us, Fight Insight Podcast, and listen to us on Spotify, Fight Insight Podcast as well. Okay.
That's right.
Sorry, I just wanted to throw that in there.
Well, that was a very good, smooth way to segue into our things. I do want to give a shout out to the New York City podcast group that we're a part of. We said it a few times, but we're getting a lot of hits through there, Prince. I think we're at like 3,500 views or something through there. And what I realize, we have to pay attention to this, is that a lot of our viewers, the majority of our viewers, are actually audio only.
Yes, yes.
So every time we say something or like show something, we should like narrate it so that we know what we're doing. But anyways, Prince and I just demonstrated beautiful jujitsu. So that's all you need to know. It's flawless.
Flawless. That's it.
Segueing from Ramona, she trains a lot at the Performance Institute. Man, I could have talked to her for like forever because the stuff that she does, and you know, she was limited on time. We wanted to be respectful of her time, but she trains with Syndicate MMA, which has like a boatload of UFC stars.
Yeah,
right. Tons. So like, how cool is that? And then, but she's at the Performance Institute, and we talked about that. The Performance Institute, just for those of you that don't know, it's a 30,000 square foot facility in Vegas, $14 million. It's the world's first MMA multidisciplinary research, innovation, and performance center. There's no cost to UFC athletes. Ramona was saying something how she was part of some group that allowed her to get into it, but that was like a special thing. It's staffed with experts in strength and conditioning, nutrition, physical therapy. You get free, like all your protein shakes and your supplements and stuff are free. And that's what I was mentioning with her, because on her Instagram, she showed like they had packaged everything for her.
Oh,
so
wow.
Like imagine the benefits of this, right? And then it's, and tech, they're saying right now they're supporting a third of the UFC roster, which is about 175 athletes.
Wow.
That's why so many people are moving to Vegas. Because imagine, like, all that stuff is right there for you. So yes, I'll bring my coach in, but I've got this huge facility, all these benefits, the food, that I think they have like massage, like chairs and those nap chairs or those egg things that you can sit in. But that's so cool, man. So for her to decide, hey, my career, I'm going to take it serious. I'm going to move out. Of course you move to Vegas. You move out there and you saddle up with this Performance Institute, you know, like huge opportunity.
Yeah, and you, well, I mean, you could definitely see in the difference in her fighting too, right? Since she's trained in the U.S. and you could see the big difference in terms of her technique and again, hungry, and she wants more. And like, it's hard to believe that she's gone through so much in terms of injury, knee injury, and coming back and at this level, COVID. I think, right? COVID as well, being off and not being able to fight. So,
Not that she had COVID, but I think she had the injury and then COVID happened. Yeah. So there was like that extra long period where she couldn't fight. Yeah. The reason I said segue in with the Performance Institute is because the UFC pays for this Performance Institute, right? Like there's no cost to the fighters, whatever. So this giant facility is continually staffed and running. This is why I think part of the reason why UFC can't pay the fighters that much, right? Like there's this argument over pay. So I do want to talk, we're going to go back to Mayweather versus Paul for a little bit, because what started to happen is there started to become comments right when the fight started, like this one here. So this is Francis Ngannou, and he tweets, "It's crazy to think Logan Paul 0-1 just made 20 million on a boxing exhibition. What are we doing wrong?" Like, what do you think about that?
Oh man, that's just tough. That's just like a massive, I mean, that comment right there just talks about the controversy in terms of the pay for MMA fighters, right? And like, and they put so much on the line. Like MMA fighters have to, you know, deal with a lot more, especially when you're getting in that ring. If you're not getting knocked out, you're getting submitted. If you're not getting submitted, either, you know, you got a potential of severe, like life altering injuries, like, you know, Silva, you saw what happened there, right? So, and Weidman as well. So, I mean, honestly, when Francis made that comment, that just goes to show just the disparity, the inequalities in terms of just the pay in itself, right? You, if you're able to drum up drama and you're able to drum up a publicity, then the money's coming your way.
But isn't that, but isn't that the thing though? Because then let me show you this quote, and this was I don't know if you heard, but Costa, Paulo Costa.
Yep.
He pulled out of his main event fight with not Gastelum, someone else. And he was quoting partly money as the issue. And then here, Dana says, hey, you signed a contract, you're under contract. If that's the way you feel, you know what I say, go fight. We have fights every weekend. If you want to be busy, get out of your contract, go do whatever you want to do. You're in no position to be talking about money, blah, blah, blah. Essentially what he's saying is, and I agree to this, you signed a contract. You know what money you're making. You agreed to it by way of the contract. I don't know that the fighters have too much, you know, argument to make. If you're signing the contract, you know what you're going to make, agree to that, perform well, and your contract will grow. We do hear other UFC fighters say that they're happy with what they make. They're happy with what they negotiate, whatever. So, you know, that's tough. And I've heard before on other podcasts where Dana White or someone says that the UFC has an obligation to offer you X number of fights a year. So on their end of the contract, UFC has to offer you, I forget what it was, maybe it's different for people, but I think at the time it was like two or three fights they have to offer you. So Paulo technically has the opportunity to go, hey, I don't like what I'm making. I'm just going to take the next three fights they give me. I'm going to get out of my contract. I'm not going to re-sign. And then I'm going to go see if I can make money boxing. The problem is not everybody's going to go make that money boxing, man.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And you know what? I think what the one guest that we had over here that really like really hit it home, and it was just a reality check, as Ashley Evans. So guys, if you guys haven't seen it, watch Ashley Evans, our podcast. It was the last podcast that we had. It was an amazing time. Talked about her podcast about sex and violence. What she said during that podcast, she goes, you know what Dana White tells us, you know, being a fighter, being an MMA fighter is an opportunity. It's not a career. When she mentioned that, I was like, wow. Like, that just goes to show. I mean, you got to look after outside of MMA and outside of your fighting career, because, you know, it's not going to last forever, right? Well, unless you're like Nate Diaz, where you can just fight forever, right? right? So,
yeah, I guess.
Right? So, I mean, but yeah, no, you're absolutely right. I mean, it's... if you sign a contract, then you know what you're getting yourself into. It's in clear write and pen and paper is clear writing. It says, okay, this is how much you're going to get paid, and you sign off on it. I mean, the amount, I mean, at the time might be amazing for you, but then, you know, later on you see other contracts like, holy crap, these people are getting this right. So how come mine's not as big? But again, you got to know what you signed up for.
That's right. And the thing is, Prince, and this is like, I'll argue with people on Instagram with this, right? Mm-hmm. But I mean, I can't just tell my cell phone provider, hey man, there's a better deal now. I see. They're like, tough luck, buddy.
You signed price match. Contract. Price match.
Yeah, that stuff doesn't work, right? Like, you know, I can't just change the payments on my car. Mm-hmm. You know, I do feel there's a little bit, you know, you can argue all you want about the different people making money, but those paydays don't come around all the time. Mm-hmm. And I mean, here's some of the other things I was just, you know, identifying that the UFC does. They're paying for the Performance Institute, right? Which, mm-hmm. if you want to take advantage of, go ahead. They pay for the USADA to keep mm-hmm. their sport clean and to keep it clean. So mm-hmm. you get that benefit. You know, they're the ones that built the UFC Apex Arena, built the Abu Dhabi Fight mm-hmm. Island, all mm-hmm. those different things, enabling you to continue to earn money and whatever. Mm-hmm. Yes, mm-hmm. to continue to earn the money that you've guaranteed on the contract. Mm-hmm. But still, I feel like the UFC does a lot of things to help their fighters that I don't know that boxing promotions do. I mean, there were no mm-hmm. boxing fights while UFC was on Fight Island. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So, you know, they do take, I feel like they take care of their fighters. I'm not just saying this because I want to be a UFC commentator, Dana. So, but you know what I mean? Like, I feel that there's more than that. And I feel like you can't argue against the contract that you've signed.
Yeah.
I do think that, I bet Ngannou was making more money on his title fight than what he probably signed on the contract. I'm sure they must have given him a bonus or done something mm-hmm. to say, hey, wait a second, now you're in title contention, right? Like, mm-hmm. I don't know how these things work, but mm-hmm. I just find it tough when I keep seeing around the internet all these arguments about the $20 million payday and all that.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. Yeah, well, I mean,
you can't afford to pay these guys $20 million. I don't know how boxing does it.
Yeah, honestly, I don't know how they paid that much. I mean, again, some of the way Mayweather's fights, he was like clearing 100 mil plus, right? Yeah. Per fight. Like, that's
where does that money come from, Prince?
I honestly do not know. Like, I mean, definitely the promotion's helping out. Pay-per-view, I don't think the pay-per-view could rake in that amount of money. No. But I mean, I'm just saying, like, I mean, again, some of these boxing federations, boxing organizations have been, you know, in there for such a long time. So, I mean, they have a good following, and boxing was one of the, you know, first, you know, professional sports, right? Sports, right?
But what does that matter? You still have to get the money for it. It's not like, what did they do? Invest in Bitcoin at its height? Like, how much money could that pay-per-view have drummed up for them? Like, mm-hmm. even in the sponsors, like, how much is a sponsor mm-hmm. paying for that?
Yeah, and the thing is also is like I'm surprised because you know, a lot more people are getting into MMA, a lot of people are getting into Muay Thai jits and all that, and a lot of people are like paying more attention, and I'm just surprised like the purses aren't as big, because that's the next big thing. I mean in terms of boxing, you know, there's not much, a lot of big stars that's out there that's like, oh man, this big fight's gonna happen next. I mean, right. There's not much fighters that we know of, right? And unless you're like Triple G or Pacquiao, and Pacquiao is like, you know, he drums up just because he's the nation's hero, right? So I mean, but yeah, I mean, that's a thing. I think they need to put more promotion in terms of the fighters, put more things out there, maybe just change. Man, I used to love it when the fighters used to have you know, the shorts, and then they pick whatever, you know, sponsors they would want, like, you know, Venom, the Monster. Remember back in the day?
Yeah,
they were making tons
Condom Depot. That was always the funny one to me. Yeah, like, but then you did hear stories about that too, about UFC fighters would say that they were in like legal battles because their sponsors didn't pay them and stuff mm-hmm. like that. And again, being the UFC wannabe commentator that I am, they did say that the benefit of like the Reebok and Venom stuff is that it's guaranteed money. Like it's right in your pocket. This is a done deal. So you don't have to fight for that. You also don't have to struggle looking for sponsors, stuff like that. So I don't know. I just think there's no way. I mean, did 20, like, okay, 100 million for Mayweather, 20 million for Paul. Did 120 million people even buy that pay-per-view? I doubt it. I have no idea, right? And then how much money has to go?
I wonder how many people illegally streamed it.
Probably.
Right?
But even, like, even if those people paid, like, would that still be enough to cover these expenses? I have no idea. But, I mean, I do think the UFC offers a lot of benefits to people and offers, like, all these different things. They must pay for the fighters' hotels and stuff, right? Like, when they go to the... like when you see them, yeah, because when they go to Abu Dhabi Fight Island, there's no way the fighters are paying hotel cost, right?
Yeah, no, I don't think so.
Do you think they pay for their food while they're at the hotel?
No way. I mean, if you're the fighter, they want you to your tip top shape. They got to make
what if
sure.
Because what if you can't afford it, right?
Like,
because think about some of those. Like, if you're on the Fight Pass prelims, I'm sure you're getting probably paid like $10,000 for your fight.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to fly you out. There's no way they're going to be like, okay, now you got to pay us for the hotel and the food.
Yeah.
Right. Like you'd be like, well, now I'm losing money on this thing.
Yeah. So, and Abu Dhabi is no, it's not cheap. Like it's expensive over there, man. Like,
yeah, there's no, there's can no you imagine Howard like, Johnson on Abu Dhabi, right?
Yeah. Can you imagine coming in there for a prelim fight and you can't afford the hotel? So you're just like sleeping outside, like, hey, I've got a fight in like an hour and I'm sleeping out here.
When they announce you, you crawl out from under the cage and you're like, oh, okay, I'm gonna fight. Like, yeah, there's no way. Yeah, just interesting. It's always interesting to look at the money. I'll put up one more thing. We often post this on our Instagram, Prince, but this website on Instagram, Fight Recap, they always post the money that these people are making. So this was from last weekend, which we're now gonna talk about. But I mean, when you look here, Israel Adesanya apparently made $792,000, right? Moreno wins the title, $320,000, right? Look at Leon Edwards, $265,000. That's including the win money. I think that's what these posts are.
Mm-hmm.
It's not chump change, but it's not like crazy money.
Yeah, but if you in comparison to like a Mayweather fight.
But how much did all those other guys on the card fight? All those other guys that fought under Mayweather.
Yeah.
I guarantee you, they probably made like
just as much as them.
No. I think they made like probably like $5,000, $10,000. I don't think any of those guys make much money. All the money has to be going to those marquee people.
There's no way. Well, that's what brings in all the fans and all the butts on the seats, right? So, like, if you're lucky enough to knock somebody out during your, you know, debut fight, then yay, okay, you're getting promotion out of that as well, right? So, yeah.
Exactly. But yeah. It's the opportunity, right? Yeah, you're going to be on that card. We're going to pay you not a lot. And then if you do well, that's going to set you up for the next thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, anyways, interesting, Prince. We could talk about this forever. Next thing I wanted to talk about was what we saw happen at UFC 263. We won't go into everything, but what did you take away from UFC 263?
Oh, man. So shout outs to Brandon. Brandon, he, Moreno. Wow, Moreno, he's been, wow. Like, I think he was the big spotlight was on him just because of how he carried himself. Like, such a young guy, he fought his way through, and you know, and even his post interview, I don't know if you saw it, his post interview, he's like, you know, I worked hard, I trained my hardest, and you know, I got to where I am. And even the way he was talking to the other fighters, everyone was like his friend, like everybody goes off to him. But yeah, I think that's just goes to show that hard work and dedication, right? And then to pull off a submission, it's just it's crazy. And then the Iggy fight. I don't know, what do you think about that fight, Tim? I actually wanted to get your kind of opinion on it.
Dang it. I don't know, man. I was voting for Vittori. I thought he would come out guns blazing.
Yeah,
you know, I thought he was going to be super hungry and aggressive.
Mm-hmm.
He He wasn't doing it. If you saw in at between the rounds, his coach, Rafael Cordero, who through Kings MMA, is the guy that I met, he was yelling at him, man. Like, he was like, you got to go in there, blah, blah. Like, he was really giving it to him, telling him. And the commentators were saying, they could overhear him saying, you lost that round. You lost this round. Like, he was telling him. And then apparently the thing is that Izzy said at the end was, or at the end of the fight, he says that Vettori said to him, I won that.
Yeah, like, yeah.
So, like, is Vettori not listening at all to what's going on? Like, your coach is telling you you're down four rounds to zero. You're down one round. You're down two. You're down three. You're down four. No idea, man. No idea. I was so disappointed in that fight. I thought, because you know what? Vettori, I don't see him getting another title shot now for forever. For a long, he'd have to do miraculous things now to get back. There are so many people waiting in line for that shot.
Yeah, no, absolutely. That's the thing. Yeah, I was disappointed. I thought, you know, I was picking Iggy as well to take it.
Of course.
I mean, I thought there was going to be more of a scrap. And yeah, you're right. At the end, he was just like, he thought that he took the belt. The guy won that one there. He's like, are you nuts? Like, no way, right?
Yeah. And he was holding his arm up.
That's it. It was up this way, right? And but you know what? I actually wanted to talk to you about was what do you think about the Craig and Hill fight?
Oh my goodness. Okay, I'm so glad that I'm not glad that gyms aren't open. But when gyms are open, I always have bets with Eric at our gym, and he was messaging on our Instagram saying Craig by submission. And I'm telling you, if we were face to face, I would have made a bet with him because I really thought Hill was going to be a super, he's going to be a superstar, or he is a superstar, but he was on he's 8-0 undefeated. I thought he was going to come in and take it. Oh my goodness. That was disgusting. I mean, so for those of you who don't know, he got submitted in the first round. It looked like his arm broke in half.
Yep.
But they later say it was actually just a really bad dislocation and they actually popped it in. By the end of the pay-per-view, it was popped back in and he was okay. And there's photos of him out dancing with Paul Craig at a club. And he says they partied all night together.
Wow.
Like, how cool is that, right?
Sportsmanship, right?
Sportsmanship and just, yeah, being a good sport, you know, respectful martial artist. Yeah, that was really cool to see. But yeah, what a fantastic fight that Paul Craig, murderer.
I mean, it could have, they could have stopped the fight a little bit sooner, I think.
Because the guy's arm is flopping around.
Yeah, yeah.
The whole crowd is like, oh, and the ref is like, come on, guys, more action, more action.
Yeah.
The guy's gone.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, I just, you know what? I know all over Facebook and all over Instagram as well, they were just commenting on, like, you know, this ref should never go ahead and officiate another fight just because of how bad it was managed. But, I mean, holy crap. That was brutal, man. I couldn't believe it. So, but, yeah, and also, what do you think about the Diaz fight?
I told you, Leon Edwards. Look, I don't know that Diaz needs to keep fighting. He's great. The crowd loves him. But what is he doing, man? How can you be in the first round, second round, third round, turning his back, walking away, all those things. Like, you'll see it all over Instagram where, like, anybody that likes MMA, anybody that's listening to this podcast, watch that fight. That's guaranteed. How can you fight like that? I don't understand what you're mentality was, or like how you thought you were going to win. Yes, he almost won in the last minute of the fight, but you can't, there's no guarantee that that's going to happen. I don't know. Disappointed in the performance, I'd say, because I don't know.
Yeah. You know what? I mean, at one point, I think Diaz stunned Lewis, and instead of attacking and be on the, on the aggressive side, he started to have his back turned and stuff like that. So, but he said himself, like, I don't plan on retiring anytime soon. Like, no, I'm going to stay. Right. So.
Yeah, sure. But it's just what, I mean, here's the thing. What good does this do him to lose multiple times? So now this is his second loss in a row because it was the BMF title against Masvidal. And now this one, two losses in a row. The next fight is going to be do or die, right? Like, how long are you going to get, you know, to stay on the roster if you lose three in a row? Three in a row normally is the kiss of death, right? Dana will let you go. I don't know. It's just unfortunate to see.
Yeah. I think him and Dana are like boys, so he's probably just gonna keep them fighting.
Yes, but if you keep losing,
yeah,
isn't that bad for your brand? Like,
yeah, well, you know what? I mean, they need people that are in the UFC that are scrappers. Diaz used to be a scrapper before he did all of this stuff, right? So extra stuff, right? So, I mean, hopefully he'll go back into that fighting ways. But I mean, if he doesn't get into that, I mean, you're right. He might just be the next one to go, right? So
yeah. Well, I guess we'll see. Do you want to now move on? Because I know, well, time-wise, we're okay. But this weekend's card, a free card?
Stacked. Yep.
A stacked card, Princey. I'm going to pull this up on my phone because I got the fights here. There's too many. I couldn't commit these things to memory. I mean, starting on the main card, you got Matt Brown versus Diego Lima. Matt Brown? Dude, that guy's a monster. I love Matt Brown. He's great.
But I think the one thing that we should just talk about, the main event, Zombie.
Yeah.
And Zombie. I can't get there. Yeah, Zombie
versus Ige.
Ige. Oh man, I said Ige. Like,
you know what it was? We had a fighter who had just murdered someone. We were very happy to speak to her. I think you fumbled. I fumbled with my thing. I think we were just too nervous. Too nervous.
Yeah, right.
If we had editing skills, I could edit that all. It would look great, but we don't. So it's fine. But okay, you want to go straight to the main event?
Yeah.
Let me just say quickly, there's Alexei Oleinik on the card. I love that guy. That's the guy that he's had 59 wins, 15 losses, one draw. I mean, that guy's been around forever. He's amazing. You got Julian Juicy J. Erosa. I love that guy. He's great. Marlon Chito Vera versus Davey Grant. On the prelims, there's good fights too. Hold on. On the prelims, you've got Kanako Murata versus Verna Jandaroba. That's a good fight. And then what was the other one I was looking at? Joaquim Silva versus Rick Lynn. I like those guys too. So those are like, these are a stat card, but okay. Korean Zombie versus Dan Ige. Who do you have on that fight?
Oh man. Okay. I'll just let you know now, Tim, like the very first UFC t-shirt that I copped. Remember when they used to have like Invicta and all that stuff out there? And the very first one was, remember Korean Zombie had that shirt? It was like a blue, it was like a hand. And it was like,
yes, chopped off hand almost.
Right? Like that's it. That was one of the first shirts that I got. And it was so cool. And the thing is, I'm a big Korean Zombie fan. And I got my hand on the Zombie just because, again, he's a legend. That's the reason why Ige is picking this fight, because you pick this fight, he's going to be in the top five contenders of, you know, at least going for the belt, right? Yeah. So I go for Zombie. How about you?
Well, Prince, I have no choice in the matter. My wife is South Korean.
Oh, okay.
And so we are a South Korean cheering household. Mm. Yeah, man, Zombie all day. Love Korean Zombie. His fights always are impressive. Mm-hmm. I think he's coming off. Is it? He's coming off the loss.
Yeah.
I apologize. No, is he? What was his last fight? So his last fight in 2020 was against Ortega, and he lost that decision.
Yep.
And then before that, in 2019, he beat Frankie Edgar, but then he beat Renato Moicano. When was the fight with Yair Rodriguez? Oh my goodness, that was 2018. Was that fight the one where he got knocked out in the very last second? Okay, so he's had two wins. Then the loss to Ortega. Now he's coming back. Yeah, I think he comes. He's not on a bad streak or anything. I think he comes back and wins. He's very, very experienced. I like Ige a lot. I think he's probably a good underdog. If you were going to pick an underdog on the card, Ige's probably going to be a good pick.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I'll say Zombie. Again, I have no choice.
Zombie. I mean, he was technically he was like one of the first Asian UFC superstars to come out, and he did the and no one and everyone remembers the twist that he did. I think he was the very first twister, even like ever recorded, like on a fight. When he pulled that, I was like, "What's going on, man?" But yeah, again, Zombie, we'll take it. I honestly think it's gonna, it'll be an exciting fight. He always puts on a good show. Actually, Tim, I want to ask you. So, what's the sign for "I love you" in South Korean?
Okay, so and for the audio listeners, we're holding up. I don't even know, almost like you're snapping your fingers, but it's your thumb and your index finger making like a little heart, right?
Yeah. There you go.
There you go. Actually, it's funny now that we had Ramona on. She trains with Joanne Calderwood, who fought on the weekend. Mm. She got robbed on the decision. Mm. But when she was standing on the weigh-in scale, she actually did that symbol. And I think it's because she's training with Jeon Kim, who's a Fire Fist, South Korean. Oh. And she doesn't speak English at all. So when you watch the videos, but she did that symbol. So I thought, oh, that's pretty cool.
I got that from when Brian Ortega and Kim came on the face-off.
Yes.
He started looking for stuff on his pockets, and all of a sudden he does this. And Korean Zombie just loses it. He's like, oh, that's amazing, right? So, yeah.
That's funny. All right. Let's see. Do we have anything else? I did want to say very quickly that our good buddy, Robbie Moss, he is in a competition. So for any of those that watch Robbie Moss, if you know Robbie Moss, he's in a competition for Muscle and Fitness magazine, and he's applied to be Mr. Health and Fitness, I think. So if you go to his Instagram, he's got links where you can go to Muscle and Fitness and you can vote for Robbie Moss. You know, he's a dear friend of ours, coach, friend, mentor. Yes. Go to that site, please, and vote for him. And you can vote for him every day as it links to your Facebook. Mm. And so you can vote for him every day. He can win to be, I don't know what it is, like a model or Mr. Health and Fitness. I don't know what that is. But and there's a cash prize, too. So let's help him get there if we can.
Tim, why do I picture Robbie in like a Speedo? Just
that's because that's the photo in your bedroom that you
have. I just, you know,
and
what?
And your screensaver and your background on your phone.
I could just picture Robbie like on like a cliff and, you know, Speedo and just looking Mr. Muscle.
All right. Well, we could have brought this up with Ashley Evan Smith last time. Okay. let's do our fight on site. We have an interesting one today. Because of Ramona Pascual, we've got a Future Stars Edition.
Yes.
So today we are picking fighters who we believe are future stars. Mm. Our guest is excluded from this because otherwise we both would have picked Ramona. Mm-hmm. Prince, what do you got?
Okay, so I'll go first.
You wanna go first?
Yeah. All right. So I've got a rising star. Actually, again, you guys, everyone knows I'm Filipino, and we've got a rising star coming out of the Philippines. His name is Lito, the Thunder Kid Adawang. So this kid right here, two-time Philippine national wushu champion. He fights out of one championship. This guy is pure power. This guy is a powerhouse. He started to come up to rise up into the actual MMA scene out of Rich Franklin's One Warrior series. And pure power, this guy, like strength, jits, knockout power. He's got it all. And you know what? UFC, you guys got to keep an eye out for this kid because he's just brute strength and really, really like humble, down to earth. And I've got my money on this kid. I honestly think a lot of the fighters in Team Lakai are going to be up and coming, and this is going to be one of them. So Lito, Thunder Kid Adawang from Team Lakai.
He is what weight class, did you say? Is he
weight
he looks
class,
like he's heavyweight with all that muscle. What?
No, he's not. He is actually, his weight class is flyweight. He's 125.
Oh, so with all that muscle, this guy's got to be like 3 feet tall.
five foot four.
Oh, okay. The dude is jacked.
Yeah. So the place that he fights out of, it's in the Baguio City. So Baguio City is a part in the Philippines that's just really high elevation. And so their training up there is 10 times as harder, right? Oh, so
it's like, it's kind of like how Cowboy trains in Colorado or whatever.
Mm-hmm, that's it.
Elevation? Oh,
okay. The high elevation. Cool. So that's a part of the, part of also their brute strength and part of the area that they're from. They're all fighters. They're all like, you know, they all just love to scrap. So nice. There you go.
All right. My fighter, Prince. I couldn't think of anybody that wasn't already kind of established, but I got one. This girl has fought twice in the UFC. She is, oh my goodness, I think she's 7-1, although other websites have her at 9-1. Are you okay? You're opening your line?
Oh, yeah. I'm just there.
Prince has got to go.
I'm just getting the fight on site.
Okay. Sorry. Our computer is making sound. So this girl is 7-1 if you look at her on Google, but she is 9-1 on SureDog. Her name is, oh my goodness, Mano Fiorot. You don't know who this is, right, Prince?
No, I have no idea. Okay. Absolute rising Prince, star.
Oh my God, Prince, you are going to know who this girl is after her next fight when they put her on the main card or they put her at least on the regular prelims, not like the fight pass prelims. Mm-hmm. So, sorry, what is her name? Okay, Mano Fiorot, Fiorot. So I apologize if I'm saying that wrong. She's from France. She's French. Mm-hmm. She is a monster in the flyweight division. Her first fight, she got a TKO in round two at the 3 minute mark. In her second fight, she got a TKO in round two in the 4 minute mark. She is knocking girls out. Mm-hmm. She is, like you saw in the photo, she's very lean and muscular. Mm-hmm. She reminds me of the aggression of a Nunes, right? Because she's got long, piercing punches, very aggressive, but with the kicks of a Holly Holm.
What?
She does a lot of like side kicks to keep distance and then beautiful long punches, and she is aggressive.
So stand-up fighter, for sure.
Stand-up fighter, for sure, although who knows, right? Because it's just she hasn't had time to go down to the ground. But, yeah, very exciting fighter. I know a lot of people listening to this podcast probably don't watch the Fight Pass prelims. Like, nobody really watches the Fight Pass prelims. But she's been on there a couple times. Man, they are going to put her high up. She's marketable in the sense that, you know, she's also she appears well-spoken. Now, she's speaking French, so there's got to be a translator, but she seems like she's charismatic and stuff. So it's only a matter of time before the public dials in on this girl. Yeah, cool fighter, man. So I'm going for Mano, and you've got?
Lito?
L-I-T-O?
L-I-T-O.
That's the name of my cat.
Oh, man, come on. But this Lito, but is your cat jacked?
Yeah, he's jacked.
Okay, if maybe for any of the listeners, if we could just get a preview of your cat, if you know.
Oh, I got to find a photo. All right, well, let's do the fight on site, fight in site, fight simulator.
All right, guys. So listen, so I've got for Lito, I've got Incredible Hulk.
Okay, like the same things every time.
I'm sorry, man. My Amazon package didn't come in yet. So I got a bunch of Incredible Hulk, and I don't even know where to stick these things after.
All right.
Like there's a truck outside of my place that I've just been sticking all the stickers on. They're like, where's this all this stuff coming from?
All right. What else you got?
And then for our how do you pronounce your fighter's name again?
Mano. M-A-N-O-N. Ooh, Doctor Strange.
Doctor Strange. Nice. There you go. So we'll go to the fight simulator. Let's go, Tim. Let's use the sound effects. I'm going to need it for today.
Me? Yeah. I've never done it before. Oh, so much pressure.
Your turn, buddy. Go.
Oh. Ooh, very nice.
Lito Arawang for the win again. You know what? And what's my record right now anyways, Tim?
Oh my goodness. All right. Well, I was not prepared for that either, Prince. But you won. Okay, you did win last week again, which is so ridiculous. I don't know what's wrong with people. How does Joe Rogan beat Matt Serra? I mean, I feel like people don't understand what we're doing with this.
But you know what? Because you know what? People know that Joe Rogan, yeah, he's funny, but he can actually kick people's butts. Like, they don't know
but
that.
But Matt Serra
like,
has proven he can kick people's butts. I mean, that's a kind of a big difference.
Well, you know, well, I mean, have you seen Matt Serra now?
Yeah, they're both like jacked on TRT, right?
No, Matt Serra's like gained a little bit. Like, Joe Rogan's been solid, like solid all the way through. Yeah. Like, look at Matt Serra now. He's actually
Both guys are not getting past USADA. So this is going to have to be a
it's true.
Underground fight. That's for sure. All right. What else do we have? Did we have anything else we wanted to say today, Prince? We're perfectly on time here. I know you've got to go. I had a wonderful time today. I wish we had Ramona on for longer.
I know.
Because there's so much stuff I want to talk to her about, but hopefully she will come on again.
I think she'll come back. I'm honestly like, you know what? I'm pretty sure she loved the Fight Insight energy, the environment. Ramona would love to have you back and, you know, for longer. And it was great. I thought it was an amazing interview, right?
No. Yeah, for sure. We'll put the links down as we always do, guys. Again, for all of you audio listeners, you can come on over to our YouTube to check out the visual version of the podcast. The links to the people that we talk about are always there, but just look her up, right? It's easy enough. Pascuale, PASCUAL. You'll see it on the description of the podcast. Prince, next week. We are very happy to announce that we are having our good friend, Dylan De La Cruz. He is a registered massage therapist. He is a Muay Thai fighter, former Muay Thai fighter, now healer. He is a registered massage therapist out of MO Therapy. Mm-hmm. And he'll be here to talk to us. Gyms are opening up. We are in Toronto, Canada. Finally, gyms are starting to open up. Things are opening up. So he's going to come on to talk about rehab, the benefits of massage therapy, things that you can benefit from. And then he'll stick along with us, Prince. So we'll talk about everything.
That's perfect. And also, you know, guys know that Dylan is actually an avid shoe collector as well. So we're going to be talking a little bit shoes as well. You know what? Before we go again, guys, you can follow us at Fight Insight Podcast. So you can watch us at YouTube, Fight Insight Podcast, just right there, that link right there. We've got Instagram as well. You can follow us at Fight Insight Podcast. You can listen to us at Spotify at Fight Insight Podcast. And you can also follow us at Fight Insight. So now we've got a Facebook account, Fight Insight Prince. We have Snapchat, Fight Insight Podcast, and also a TikTok. Fight Inside Podcast as well. So we are at every platform, you name it, we're there. So you guys listen, watch. It's an amazing podcast. We've got a bunch more viewers coming in, guests. So again, sorry. And if you want to get on to the actual show and want to be a guest, you can email us at fightinsidepod@gmail.com.
All right, buddy. Thank you so much, Prince. Today was a great episode. We talked about a lot of stuff, so that was pretty cool. We got a lot of things off of our bucket list to talk about. We'll have a great night of fights on Saturday, and I'll see you next week.
All right, Timmy. Take care, buddy.
All right, buddy. Have a good one.
Peace. Stay,